Good morning, a Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. The news of the day. President Donald Trump last night accepted the Republican nomination for president. He accused the Democrats of giving free rein to criminals, misrepresented his own record on the coronavirus as he attacked Joe Biden, says the New York Times. Even the White House staging seemed meant to signal a lack of concern for the virus. Guests clearly violated social distancing guidelines. Few wore masks much of the night, given over to explicit rebuttals to Mr. Trump's vulnerabilities on racism, sexism, and the virus from his allies and friends.
Look, David, I've been talking to you every morning, and I've been saying again and again and again, this is going to come down basically to a racist appeal, to an anti-cities appeal, and he is going to be saying this could easily have been handled. I'm assuming he means with troops and repressively, like Lafayette Square, which we saw as he cleared those people out with pepper spray and the rest, to go across the square and hold up a Bible as a photo op. Look, this guy has been appealing on the basis of, I'm going to keep you safe from the very beginning. This is his thing. Now, I'm very concerned about this violence, as I've been telling you, because it makes no sense. In order to get Trump out of there, you have to have peaceful protests, the more the better, as far as I'm concerned, where Black Lives Matter. But on the other hand, every time you have one of these outbreaks of violence, it helps Trump. And you can see it in his rhetoric and what he's saying, I will keep you safe. And that, of course, leads to the question of who are these people? Would you put it past this president or to the Russians or to others to try to influence the way in which this election was going to go by doing the one thing that would help him the most, which is the violence that we have seen? Now, look, David, this is on his watch. It's not the Democrats who are in the White House. He can't blame Obama. It wasn't happening during Obama. It is happening now. And one can only say, hey, you're the president. You were stoking the fires all along. This is what you get. But the Democrats aren't saying that. And whether or not these people who are doing this damage are who the president says they are, or somebody who is more insidiously closer philosophically to him, that's the question.
It's interesting because Joe Biden, of course, the Democratic nominee, now said, paraphrasing, take a look around you. How do you feel in Trump's America, basically? What do you see?
Well, that's right. The old saying, are you better off than before Trump was the president? The answer is you are not. You've got the worst economy in history since the Great Depression. You do have the rich getting richer and the obvious gains in the stock market, David. And he's touting all of that. He has the chutzpah, and it's way more than just chutzpah, to say, I'm the best president since Abraham Lincoln, or something of that kind. The more outrageous the statement, the more his fans love it. And this is what he's going to be playing to the very end. He's going to be saying violence in the cities, and I'm going to protect you from that. That's the game plan.
It was interesting during your interview with Harold Holzer yesterday on The Presidents and the Press, when you got to Trump, he seemed to admire most, not Lincoln, but Andrew Jackson.
Well, of course, Andrew Jackson was a scoundrel. We all know it. And he was exactly the kind of leader that Trump is. I don't give a damn about what people are thinking about me, and I'm going to incite the masses the best I can. And Trump has looked to that base from day one and said, let's get the base out. If we can do that, we can win. That's what he's saying. I don't think he denied that.
Well, here's something he said during the speech. This is an AP fact check, Alan. Instead of following the science, President Trump said Joe Biden wants to inflict a painful shutdown on the entire country. His shutdown would inflict unthinkable and lasting harm on our nation's children, families, and citizens of all backgrounds. The fact, that's false. Biden has publicly said he would shut down the nation's economy only if scientists and public health advisors recommend it.
Hey, David, look at what's going on. We have a president who is presiding over this terrible economy right now. Awful. People out of work, people without food. He blew his opportunities to prepare this country for the COVID. In fact, for some reason, the United States is worse than everybody else, and that was on his watch. And yet, he just says the opposite. It's what we have always heard is the big lie. You just say it over and over again and hope that people will buy it. And there will be some who don't know what they're talking about and who will buy it. We see that in these interviews with some of these people who are Trump supporters who have no idea what the reality is. They just say what the president tells them to say.
from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. the live coverage of the March on Washington. 57 years after Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech, the March on Washington today, the families of Black Americans shot or killed by police officers will speak on the same site, the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. The families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Eric Garner, and Jacob Blake will join Reverend Al Sharpton and Martin Luther King III today at the Commitment March. Get your knees off our necks. It's organized by the National Action Network. And this, I assume, will be a big deal today on the heels of what we just talked about at the Republican convention.
Listen, the reason that this is so important is that if the black vote is delivered to the Biden campaign, they'll win. The question is, will people of color come out and vote? We know that in most presidential elections, which are among our most popular elections, the turnout is abysmal. We're talking about 50% of the entire potential electorate show up in a presidential election. Now, if you can change that, if you can get 10% more, 5% more, you're going to win. And so one of the things that this march represents is an attempt to mobilize people and to tell them why it's so important to vote. No two ways about it. You can't defeat Trump unless people come out and vote who traditionally haven't voted.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, with us.